Turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Wanted to say I was pretty excited yesterday, last night, when we had five people stay for the soul winning class. And just an encouragement where to you that if you are not able to make it in the blizzard, then you can come out next week and we'll pick up where we left off. And just encourage you, if you were planning on coming and you were not able to come to that soul winning class, then come. And I was appreciative of those that came last night. And so this is not by any means, the soul winning class is not by any means, you know, an advanced level class, because I'm not an advanced level teacher. So it's just a very basic. It's exactly what we go through with the teenagers. And so it's something that will help you if you've never been able to witness to somebody, you've never been able to lead someone to the Lord. And I encourage you to come to this class and challenge yourself to do so. And so again, that's at 5:30. It's been a weird couple of weeks, and some of you already know where I'm going with this. Last Tuesday, I was in soul winning meeting, and I was starting to give my little lesson that I give, and I'm looking over to the side, and preacher has that look. Now, preacher, when there's something going on, and I know when he gets a look, I say, uh-oh, because he had that look. Something was going on. And so I look over there at him, and he just kind of look at me and look around, and then I keep going with my little spiel. And it just so happened that I decided I was going to compare us and compare, you know, soul winners into aspects of yard marks. Well, I got to about the point where I was talking about how some of those items over there, they were dead and they were useless, but somebody came by and saw a use for them. And preacher just had enough. He said, "This is exactly what I preached on Sunday morning." Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm not normally in there on Sunday morning. So I had no idea that he preached that exact same message from the same exact text verse and everything. And so that was kind of what really made it awkward was I had went through the whole lesson that morning, and the ladies were looking at me like, "You are stealing this from preacher. How dare you?" And I thought, wow, what a coincidence. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was supposed to preach in preacher's place when he was gone. And so I had a sermon that I had all prepared, all ready to go. And preacher did not go out of town. So he said, "Well, I'm going to be gone in 2 weeks, so you can preach in that spot," which would have been this Sunday. So, all right, that's great. I already got my message all lined up, all ready to go. And let me tell you a little bit about this message. This message was going to be on the Ark of God. And I was going to talk about the four parts of the Ark of God. You know, the mercy seat that's on top, and, you know, the things that were in the Ark of God. I was going to talk specifically. Those were my four points. And so he starts in on the introduction. I'm thinking, no way. There's no way. In fact, this would have been a great Wednesday night Bible study. But he went, you know, sure enough, introduction. I thought, okay, he's going to go in a different direction. Point number one. What are you doing? So, I don't know. I don't know if he's been looking at my sermon notebooks or what. I don't know what's happening. I'm sure that's what happens. But anyway, so this is a new one. This is a new one. I will not be speaking on the Ark of God. Instead, let's turn to Proverbs, and we'll be learning some lessons out of Proverbs. No. No, we will not be learning any principles out of Proverbs tonight, which for those of you who've been sleeping, that's a whole series we went through for about a year in Proverbs. But turn in, if you're not there already, Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Verse number 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The message that I'm going to preach tonight is, who does this guy think he is? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you please just bless, Lord, just a simple message, a short message, but Lord, just a thought that I think that could help us and would just encourage us in our Christian lives. I pray that you please bless with that. In your name we pray. Amen. From Exodus chapter number 3 to Deuteronomy chapter 34, the Bible focuses on the ministry of Moses. Now, I would say that this is probably a pretty tough act to follow, considering in Deuteronomy 34, it says, "And there rose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." That would be a pretty tough act to follow. But Joshua finds himself in that place. They are on the edge of the promised land, and Moses, who had been their leader, is no longer their leader. There is someone else in charge. I wonder how many of these people were thinking, who does this guy think he is? You mean you're going to take over Moses' spot? Don't you understand who Moses was? Don't you understand the things that Moses accomplished? You see, it wasn't until Joshua chapter number 4 that God magnified Joshua in the sight of the people. That wasn't until Joshua chapter number 4. This is Joshua chapter number 1. And so the people are looking at him. Who is this man? Now, I got a feeling they probably knew who he was, and the people had grown up around him. But for the most part, these people, they had only had one leader their entire life. This whole generation was brought up underneath Moses. And so the question might have been probably more appropriately, why is this guy the most qualified to lead the children of Israel into the promised land? What had he ever done to prepare him to lead the people into the promised land? Well, I just have a few points here. Let's look at who Joshua was. Turn over to Numbers chapter number 13. First thing I want us to understand is that Joshua was a slave. Joshua, he was born into a home as a slave. Numbers chapter number 13, he was born into slavery in Egypt. Numbers chapter number 13, it says in verse number 8, it says, "Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun." Skip down to a couple of verses later. It says, verse 16, "These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua." So right here, his name was Oshea, okay? Which essentially his name means salvation. So Joshua, and of course later on, Moses decides, you know what, your name is not Oshea, your name is Joshua. That's like somebody looking at me and saying, your name's not Mick, your name is Mitch. Or your name's not Mike, it's Mark. You know, that's not your name, it's this. And well, but he changed it anyway. And I think that Moses probably changed it for a little bit better reason than just slip of the tongue. You see, Oshea, his name means salvation. When Moses changed his name to Joshua, it means Jehovah is my salvation. So you know what, right here, as a slave, born into a slave home, his parents who were slaves named him salvation. His name meant Jehovah is my salvation. And basically what's going on here is by naming him salvation, they were bearing witness to their faith in God's promise to redeem his people. When did he promise that he would do that? Well, over here in Genesis chapter number 50, and I'm going to turn there real fast. Genesis chapter number 50, it says in verse 24, And this is Joseph talking. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. Listen to this now. And bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. You know, they had heard the story from Joseph. That was carried down and was passed around. Hey, Joseph said that God's going to deliver us out of Egypt. God's going to take us out to that promised land. They had heard about that. And they had heard about how God promised to do that. And so these were people of faith. And I got a feeling that that faith was carried on to Joshua. Growing up in a home where there was faith, that faith was passed on, not by accident, and not even, you know, because he stumbled into it, but it was put into him. How do you know that he had faith? Well, I think he had to have faith in a lot of different areas. What do you think when they started seeing all the plagues coming? And they saw all those maybe creeping closer to them. And how about when they got to that last plague? And you understand that Joshua was the firstborn son? So he was his life was in danger the night of the Passover. And he had to trust the blood of the Lamb. He had to trust that blood of the Lamb was enough to atone for him and to cover him, to keep him safe. When he was chosen as one of the spies sent into the promised land, of course the ten that were bad, they saw eyes of flesh, but the two that were good, they saw with eyes of faith. So, you know what? We see Joshua here as a slave. Joshua the slave was a man of faith. He was a man of faith that trusted God to do wonders for his people. And the next thing that we see, turn over to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. Exodus chapter 17. Not only do we see Joshua the slave, but now we see Joshua the soldier. By the way, if you're expecting a deep, in-depth message here tonight, you're not going to get it. It's just going to be simple thoughts. Joshua the soldier. Exodus chapter number 17. It says in verse number 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. Right here, the children of Israel, they've come out of Egypt. By the way, do you understand the picture of what's going on? As they come out of Egypt, you know, this is a picture of salvation. And if you think that just by being saved, that means that you won't have any more battles in your life, then I'm sorry to tell you, but you're wrong. After you get saved, you are still going to have battles in your life. And the children of Israel, even though they came out of Egypt, they still had battles that they had to fight. There were still battles that they had to get, that they had to win. And so, tomorrow, he says in verse 9, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You know, Joshua had to have been a good soldier if Moses was going to put him in charge of this Israelite army. He had to have, you know, learned how to use a sword somewhere. The question I wonder is, where did he learn to use the sword? I mean, he was now in charge of an entire army. Where did he learn his leadership skills? Or where did he learn to command that army? Is that just something that he, hey, what do you know? I'm actually kind of good at this. Or where did he learn those from somewhere else? I wonder, had Joshua somehow been a part of the Egyptian army? The Bible doesn't say, but he must have learned something from somewhere. I wonder if they trained him and you know, they wanted to promote him into some position of power. And I wonder if, kind of like Moses, he rejected that and he turned down maybe a military promotion because he wanted to identify with the people like Moses did. I don't know. I don't know where he learned all of this, where he learned to command an army. I don't know that. But I know one thing, that whether he had training or whether he did not have training, whether he was trained in commanding an army or he was not trained in commanding an army, I know one thing, that Joshua was a man of courage. He was a man of courage. You know what? I thank God that there was a man like Moses that was on top of a mountain with his arms raised up that's making intercession for the children of Israel. But listen, I'm also thankful that there was a Joshua that was down in the valley that was fighting also. And in your life, in your Christian life, hey, you're going to have some times when you need to get down on your knees and you need to pray and you need to beg God and you need to seek His face. But bless God, there's also going to be some times when you need to be like a Joshua that stands up, that puts his sword on, and gets to the fight. Hey, in your life, you're going to have... Preacher talked about it on Sunday night. We're on the same wavelength. You know, there's going to be some battles that you're going to have to fight. And you're going to have to have God's help. But sometimes you're going to need to do more than just pray. You're going to have to actually act. You're going to have to do something about it. And thank God that Moses is there, and thank God that he's raising his hands. But I'm going to tell you what, if Moses just stood up on the mountain and raised his hands, they would have lost. Because Joshua had to have courage. He had to do that. And listen, in your Christian life, after you're saved, on your way to the victorious Christian life and in the Christian victorious Christian life, there's going to be battles. You're going to have to keep fighting. You're going to have courage. You know, by the way, Joshua's secret to victory was not in, you know, not necessarily in his skill or even tenacity, but it was in his willingness to obey the word of God. His obedience to do what God said to do, he was willing to do that. And guess what? Everything turned out all right because he was willing to obey God. So, you got to understand that Joshua the soldier, he was a man of courage. He was a man that was willing to get up and get to the fight and do something. He wasn't just going to sit there. He wasn't going to hope for the best. He was going to get to it. He was going to do something. In the battles that we have in our life, in the battles that you're fighting against, you understand, we're not going against just flesh and blood. The devil isn't going to fight fair. And so you have to get to the work. You have to fight a little bit. You have to be courageous while you're doing that. So Joshua, why could he be a leader someday? He was just a slave. Well, yeah. But he was also a soldier. He was a man of courage. He was a slave that had faith, but he was a soldier, a man of courage. Next thing that I see about Joshua is Joshua was a servant. Turn over to Exodus chapter number 24. Exodus chapter number 24. By the way, there's a difference between being a slave and a servant. There's a big difference between being a slave and being a servant. You know what the difference is? The difference is who's making you. Are you doing that because you want to? And by the way, maybe I should focus more on the young people right now. And sometimes young people who come through Christian school, come through a Christian home, you know what happens? They're a slave. Because they're being made to do what's right. And because not because they want to do what's right. And so first chance they get when it's time for them to make their own choice, it's time for them to go out on their own, they're going to let everybody know, that was not my choice before and I'm free. And you know, there's a big difference between a slave and a servant. Here, Joshua says, I'm willing to be a servant. Exodus chapter number 24, it says in verse number 13. And Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua. Numbers, chapter number 11, verse 28 says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men." You know, from day one, from the very first thing that we hear about Joshua, Joshua is painted as the picture of servitude. Man, he whatever Moses needed, he would do it. It didn't matter how great the task or how small the task. It didn't matter how great the challenge or how menial. He was willing to do whatever. You know why? Because he wanted to be a servant. And as a leader someday, that's a great quality to have. The preacher talks about it all the time, about how as leaders, it's not about just stomping around, ordering people around. It's about being a servant to people. And so he learned how to be a servant by being a servant to Moses. Not only was he a servant to Moses, but he was a servant to God. Keep going to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter number 33. Exodus 33, it says in verse number 7, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp." This is verse 7. "Afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." And by the way, he was not the only one that went into the tabernacle. Look at verse number 9. "And it came to pass as Moses entered in the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face." Could you imagine that? Having God speak to you face to face. Now, some of us, we can't understand God speaking to us face to face because we can't understand God speaking to us at all. You can have God speak to you. But to imagine that he had God speaking to him face to face, that's incredible. And so it says there in verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, into the camp." Listen, "but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." You know, Joshua wasn't just a warrior, but he was somebody that worshipped God. Not only did he worship God, but he knew the importance of staying in the presence of God. Staying in the presence of God. Preacher talked about the Ark of God and talked about that. You know, one thing about the Ark of God, of course, that's a picture of the presence of God. You know, as long as Saul was the king of Israel, he only asked for the Ark of God one time. And that was as a rabbit's foot. "Hey, we're going out to fight a battle. Why don't you bring that along and see what happens?" That was the only time. The only time that he wanted to bring the Ark of God. But you know what David did? David, the first thing he did after he took over, he says, "I want that Ark of God back here." Because David wanted the presence of God in his life. And Joshua found out that as a servant, if he was, as a man, he needed to be a servant. A servant to his authority in Moses, but then a servant to God. He needed to stay in the presence of God. Hey, listen, can I challenge you today? It doesn't matter what you're trying to do. If you're just trying to parent your children, you need to be in the presence of God. If you're trying to stay blameless in your job, you need to stay in the presence of God. If you want to serve God on that bus route, then stay in the presence of God. It's not a secret. You want to be a servant of God. You want to be blessed and stay in His presence. It was no mistake that the one who stayed in God's presence was the one that later followed after Moses. The next thing that I see is not only was he a servant to Moses, not only was he a servant to God, but he was a servant to the people. Flip over to Joshua chapter number 19. Joshua chapter number 19. Joshua 19, verse number 49. Now, this is after the conquest of the promised land. They're divvying up inheritance. Chapter 19, verse number 49. And he says, "And when they had made an end of the dividing of the land for an inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them." Now, wait a second. Why is that important? Because he did not take his inheritance until everybody else had gotten theirs first. He said, "You know what? Let's go ahead and give everybody else what they deserve. I'll just take mine last." You know, Joshua was a servant to the people. He was willing. He said, "You know what? Whatever's left over, whatever you want to give me, that's fine. But I'm not going to take my inheritance until the very end. I'm not going to take it until the very last." You know, I can't help but think of a mother who maybe their dinner is a little scant. They don't have a whole lot to give, and so the mother portions out food for all of the kids, and whatever's left over, she'll take. That's how Joshua was. He says, "Hey, look, let the people take theirs first. I'll take mine last. I don't need to go." Joshua was a servant to Moses, his authority. He was a servant to God, but he was a servant to the people also. So Joshua, the servant, was a man of humility. Now I'm almost done. Let's look at the last one. Turn over to Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter number 13. So we have Joshua the slave, who was a man of faith. We have Joshua the soldier, who was a man of courage. Joshua the servant, who was a man of humility. But then we have Joshua the spy. Joshua the spy. So Israel here, they've arrived at Kadesh Barnea, and they're on the border of the promised land. God commands Moses to appoint 12 men to spy out the land. Look at Numbers chapter number 13, verse number 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of the fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." Skip to verse number 16. Of course, it lists all of these men. Verse number 16. "These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. So you know the story here. You know what happens. They go out, the 12 spies spy out the land, and after 40 days of investigating, 40 days of checking this out, they come back and they report, and every single one of them says the land is good. Every single one of them, "Hey, it's great." But 10 of them said, "Yeah, the land is good, but the people, I don't know that we can take them on. They're a little too strong. I don't think we can do it." But not Caleb. Not Joshua. They encourage the people to trust God and to take the land. You know what? How sad is it? The people, of course, listen to those 10 faithless spies. And because of that, it delays the children of Israel from going into the promised land for 40 years. Now, remember this. What was it that Joshua and Caleb did? They encouraged, right? They said, hey, listen, we can go in and we can take it. Let's go. Come on. God gave us this land. If He gave it to us, He'll help us do it. Come on, let's go and take this land. They were encouraging, right? But because of the 10 faithless spies, they didn't go in. Joshua and Caleb, they weren't blind to the situation. They could see just like the other 10 spies. They could see that it really, you know, the reality of the situation wasn't the greatest, but they weren't going to let the problems, they weren't going to let the difficulties rob them of their faith. They weren't going to let them rob them of their faith in God in believing that God could do what He said He would do. And because of his faith, because Joshua had faith, listen, he could encourage those that were around him. Hey, child of God, you, because of your faith, you can be an encouragement to people that are around you. You can encourage people because of the faith that you have in God. And that's what he did. He was encouraging. He said, come on, I believe that we can take this land because God said it. So come on, let's go take that land. Nope, we can't do it. Now, you and I, we just think, oh, well, hey, he got to go there anyway. But for 40 years, Joshua, he had to think about every single day. Listen, every single step, every single day, he thought about, we should be in the promised land right now. And we're missing out on the promised land because of those. Every single day, he would see another of the generation that would die. And every single day. Now, I can't help but think, if I was Joshua, I'm going to be honest with you, I'd probably get a little bitter. Hey, listen, if you had paid attention to what I was saying, you wouldn't all be dying off right now. We'd be in the promised land. So every single step that I have to take, every single day that I have to endure, every single year that passes by, it's because of you people. You know what? I've had enough. But Joshua didn't say that. Joshua, the encourager, I wonder how many times he and Caleb had to get together and maybe they'd get mad a little bit and then, hey, it'll be all right. Come on, man. We still get to get in the promised land. We still get to see that. Hey, we still get to... And these men, they could have been so mad. They could have been so bitter. They could have been so frustrated. Because the people and the lack of faith that the people had caused them to forfeit God's perfect will for their life for those 40 years. But instead, they just kept encouraging. Every now and then, I'm sure Joshua had been frustrated, but he kept encouraging himself. You see, Joshua the spy was a man of encouragement. We can do this. We can go. Hey, listen, I know we messed up, but we can still take that land. We can still go out and we can still take that promised land that God has for us. Because he was a man of encouragement. Numbers chapter number 27. Numbers chapter number 27. Just a simple Bible study about this man, Joshua. Last point here and I'm done. Numbers chapter number 27 says in verse number 12, and the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this mount Abarim and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. When thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is the water of the Meribah, in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. So he says, Moses, I'm sorry, but you're not going in. You rebelled against me, so you forfeit, you're not going in. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in. And the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. He says, God, please give them a leader. Give them somebody that's worthy to take them in, somebody that they'll follow, somebody that they need to get behind. Verse 18, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Lastly, we see Joshua, the successor. Moses is praying, God, please give him a leader. Give him somebody that is worthy to take them in. I failed, but they still need a leader. So God says, you know, I got somebody like that. I know of a slave who is a man of faith. I know of a soldier who is a man of courage. I know of a servant who's a man of humility. I know of a spy who's a man of encouragement. How about I make that man the leader? How about I put him as your successor? You see, God wants that kind of person as a leader. Whatever it might be, leader of your home, leader in a youth department, leader on the job, God wants that kind of person to be a leader, a person who's a man of faith, somebody who's got some courage, somebody who is humble, but then somebody that can encourage. You know, nobody wants to follow somebody that's dragging everybody else down. They want to follow somebody that's encouraging. When God decided, who's going to lead the rest, my chosen people? You know what? How about Joshua? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Joshua is an incredible man for us to look at. And Lord, to think that he had to follow Moses, probably one of the greatest leaders ever. A man who was able to talk to you face to face, that is incredible to me. But Lord, you chose Joshua because of all the qualities that he possessed, all the qualities that he had. I pray, Lord, that you please help us to be that kind of leader in our homes. Be that kind of leader in our jobs. Help us, Lord. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, we don't normally ask this on a Wednesday night, but I see some new faces. Is there anybody in here that says, Brother Mick, you didn't necessarily talk about it, but I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven someday. I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I don't know that, but if I could know that, I'd like to. You say, Brother Mick, that's me. Just slip your hand up, put it up in the air, and put it right back down. I won't embarrass you, but you say, Brother Mick, I'd like to know how I can know for sure that I'm going to heaven someday. Put your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody like that at all? I wonder if there's anybody in here who says, Brother Mick, the message that was preached was an encouragement to me. And something in that message was something that I needed. Well, then as the piano plays, why don't you come forward and pray about it? Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, bless now the invitation time. In your name we pray. Amen. Did you raise your hand for salvation? If you raise your hand for salvation, come down. Talk to Brother Bragg here, standing here at the end of the aisle. Why don't you come talk to him? Take him by the hand. Say,